I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Hyperice, the leader in advanced warm-up and recovery technology. They have tons of innovative products, like Venom-heated wearables to help soothe sore back muscles, Normatec compression boots to speed up recovery and increase circulation, and Hypervolt massage guns to improve mobility. Loved by athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland. Try them yourself. Get 10% off your order with the code MOVE at hyperice.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, last time you heard from us, we said that 0-3, it was a must win to not go 0-3. The Raiders are now 0-3. My host Terrence Biggs with me is the best content creator in all of the fandom of Raider Nation, Ryan Holmes. Good afternoon, my man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it's getting harder to watch this film and do the breakdowns when they keep losing, but I'm going to keep pumping out content as long as I can.
Now, I guess my thing, when I look at the losses and everything compounded, is 0-3 reversible? Do you think the Raiders can pull themselves out of it and make a decent push for the playoffs?
That's a tough question, because at this point, for them to do that, they're going to have to win within the division. So they're going to have to win 4 of the next 5 divisional games. They can't have any slip-ups against the Chiefs in the remaining game of the Chargers and the 2 games of the Broncos, including this weekend. Like, if they can't find a way to win 4 of those games and they're under 500 in the division, they're going to lose a lot of tiebreakers when it comes to playoff time.
Now, when we look at Derek Carr, does he seem less accurate and also less active downfield than he has in previous seasons?
I think the biggest issue from watching the tape from the first 3 weeks with Derek Carr is I don't think he's trusting the routes, and he's waiting for guys to get open rather than throwing them open. And there's guys open pretty much on every play. There's a lot of people on social media talking about McDaniels and the scheme sucks, but when you actually watch the film, there's guys open. It's just, you know, Derek's got to fully grasp the system better, understand the coverages. He's seen coverages that he hasn't seen a lot, or they're double teaming, you know, Adams, and they're double teaming Waller, and it's different safety rotations that he's not used to playing against, because he's never had these type of weapons on the field together. So there is an adjustment period here. The problem is you can't stack losses while he adjusts, or else this year is going to be a wash.
The blindly faithful and blindly loyal will sit there and complain about the number of drops, but statistically, this team's only had 3 the entire year. So it's they were at awful times, but only 3 drops in 3 games is not a lot. What sticks out to me most is, like you said, they're trying to wait for guys to get open. The percentage of bad throws, it was 15.6 last year. Now it's 24.3. That's a giant jump for anybody. If you are in that quarterback room, or if you're the offensive coordinator or Josh McDaniels, how would you correct Carr right now?
Well, I think they need to do a better job of scheming Davante Adams open more often and getting him inside and matching him up against linebackers they have to get the running backs involved in the passing game too. That was a big thing in New England, is having those outlets and those checkdowns. And right now, because the offensive line is kind of in shambles, they're having to keep the backs in as extra protection. They're having to keep a tight end in to chip before he releases. So, you know, a lot of times the other team's rushing four and they got seven defenders in coverage against really three receiving options. So it's pretty easy for them to double guys up, and then you're hoping Mac Hollins wins on the other side, especially without Renfrow on the field. But he doesn't really have those outlets when that he can get the ball to for 6, 7, 8 yards at a time. And I think as the offensive line improves this year, hopefully once they settle on the five that they want, then they can open up the offense a little bit. I actually thought Carr had his best game of the season against Tennessee, but there were still some things in there that you would like to see better, you know, missing Darren Waller. Darren Waller drops that ball down the field, that 30-yard pass, sticking one hand out. It could have been a better pass, too. It's on both of them. The play in the red zone where Derek Carr throws it, it goes through Waller's hands and gets intercepted. Like, you'd like to see Carr get rid of that like a step earlier, because you can see him at the top of his drop. He takes an extra hop. Waller's open immediately. It's a great play design. It's basically, you know, Y under, so you have Moreau clearing out. And Waller's coming underneath him, and Moreau's basically screening the defender right there. And you can see Waller turn and look, and Carr takes an extra hop, and then he tries to put a little extra mustard on it to fire it in there. Absolutely should have caught it. It's a drop, but you know, if it's a step earlier, if he hits him around the waist instead of up high, maybe it makes it an easier play. But they're just off. Like, it's execution more than anything. It's not scheme. The scheme, you know, if you just throw the tape on, the scheme's fine. Like, guys are open. And the other thing, they need to run the football to help Carr out as well. Like, there's no real threat of play action. They have to get Jacobs involved. It can't be drop back 70 times. With this offensive line throwing the ball 70% of the time, it's just not sustainable.
They're averaging 17 carries and 80 yards a game. That is awful. I mean, it's wild to watch the offense kind of transformed to Gruden, who in his mind liked to pound the ball, to McDaniels, who seemed like he's allergic to the run. Now, we mentioned the offensive line. Carr does get 2.5 seconds of pocket time. Now, if you had to guess, who do you think leads the league in pocket time as far as which quarterback enjoys the most of it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's probably a younger guy. I don't know off the top of my head. It's not going to be an old veteran like Brady or Rodgers, because they're getting rid of the ball fairly quickly. It's probably a guy that likes to scramble and run around, or a younger guy that's just waiting too long in the pocket. I'm going to guess Joe Burrow. He takes a lot of sacks.
Justin Fields averages 3 seconds per snap of pocket time, per pass. That is,
yeah, I knew it was probably going to be a younger guy that's taking longer to read defenses.
Speaking of defenses, there to me, it's funny when I look at the pass rush. I think of, I don't know, it's weird. Yes, Max Crosby has a lot of pressures, but at what time do we start to kind of wish those pressures turn into actual sacks? Like the ability to close, like.
Yeah, that one I'm not on. Like, I see a lot of that on Twitter. Max Crosby's got 2 sacks in 3 games. He had another sack that was erased by a defensive hold. He's getting close a lot, but, you know, you can't expect the guy to get 2 or 3 sacks every game. He'd have 40 sacks at the end of the year if that's what he was doing. So I have no problem with the way Max Crosby's playing.
I agree. Now, another guy, Chandler Jones.
That's the one.
People want to tout his ability to, you know, he got free a couple of times, but he got free. He wasn't anyone in a quarterback. What do you think his issue is? And do you think he's at the point with career where it's just like that step isn't there, or can he shake this off?
Yeah, this one's tough, because I tried to defend Chandler Jones after week two watching the tape. It was clear that he was mush rushing and he wasn't trying to turn the corner. This week against Tennessee, he went up against a backup left tackle and looked just as bad. Now, he's playing okay in the run game, but they didn't pay him $17 million a year to be okay in the run game. The burst off the snap just isn't there. Like, you don't see him closing that cushion and getting on the offensive tackle quickly. So his sacks are going to be either, you know, his first move works, or it's going to be a coverage sack behind him. Like, to me, he looks like a player that's probably going to get 5 or 6 sacks this year. I don't see the double-digit guy. I just don't see the burst anymore, which is – a concern because he's in the first year of a 3-year deal.
Now, when you also look at the interior, how do you think the interior is played after 3 games?
I think the run defense has been fine. I think Andrew Billings is actually been their best interior guy. I think Hankins has played all right. The concern there is Bilal Nichols and the pass rush. We've talked about it. Like, they needed an interior guy that could push the pocket and obvious passing downs, and that was supposed to be Bilal Nichols. That hasn't happened yet. Cleland Farrell's moved inside. That really hasn't worked. I've never really been on the Farrell should play inside on passing downs because I didn't see him with the ability to beat guards either. So they're going to have to manufacture a pass rush in some of these situations by blitzing more. I think they need to bring Devon Diablo more on blitzes. He's been awful in coverage. Like, he doesn't know where to go when his zone drops. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he wasn't playing on passing downs this week with Perryman back, because he's been picked apart. And if you just look at the Raiders defense in total, like, the underneath has been so soft and so open. Like, the pass rushers haven't really had a chance. They've been down in games. A lot of play action from Tennessee. They need to get a lead. They need to get up, and they need to figure out how they're going to cover the middle of the field, because the two guys on the outside have been really good. They need to figure out what they're going to do at that linebacker spot, because right now they can't cover anybody.
I agree. Now, when we come back from break, I want to discuss the Broncos and what they feature, but that's after this break. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, the Broncos are, I guess the word, offensively challenged. Even though they're 2-1, Yeah, they squeaked out an 11-10 extra inning victory versus the 49ers. When you look at the complexity or the structure of this offense, what's the first thing that jumps out when you look at the Denver scheme?
I just think they haven't figured out how to get those outside receivers involved. You've seen a lot of Russell Wilson throwing it to the backs. Number 83 is going to be a problem this week. That the H-back, I think his name is Beck, tight end, fullback, H-back. Like, he's going to work a lot underneath against those linebackers. And I fully expect, you know, Russell Wilson sooner or later is going to have to take chances down the field. And the Raiders' defensive secondary this week is all banged up. Like, you might see Sam Webb. You might see Robertson outside. You may see Roby Coleman up from the practice squad. They may be playing big nickel where you have Abram playing the nickel. So it's going to be interesting to see how they match up with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, because Rock Ya-Sin's banged up. He might play. He practiced, but we'll see if he can go a full game. But I don't think Hobbs is going to play this week with concussion. But Denver's, you know, they can run the football and they can be physical and they have those two backs. So if they commit to the running game and they get some play action, but where you see Russell Wilson really get loose is on those plays where it's out of structure, where he's scrambling outside the pocket, makes a guy miss and throws it down the field. That's where you really have to contain him, because he hasn't been able to really do that a lot this year. Teams have kept him in the pocket, and then they've forced him to throw it early, and he just hasn't had a ton of success. He doesn't have a lot of chemistry with those receivers yet.
One thing you mentioned in Jerry Jeudy, I always found it an odd stat, but he's catching under 44% of his passes. This is a guy who people thought that he had some of the surest hands coming out of Alabama. How difficult, if you had to explain to somebody, the transition from college receiver to pro receiver is?
Yeah, well, a lot of that could have been he was playing with Drew Lock last year. Too. So pass accuracy helps, scheme helps. But I think the biggest issue is reading the defenses at the NFL level, because a lot of these routes are based on the coverages, middle of the field open, middle of the field closed, cover two, cover four, cover three. Are they playing cover seven? Like, they have to know instantaneously what the defense is and be on the same page as the quarterback and read it together. Getting off of press coverage, Jerry Jeudy's not a big guy. So if you're playing a bigger corner, you can get his hands on him. You can kind of disrupt the route. You don't want to give him a free release. And then scheme, obviously, it depends on what kind of scheme you're in. So there's a lot of issues that go into successful receivers are earlier in their career. And clearly, if you're playing with a better quarterback, it helps. So we'll see what Jeudy does this year now that he has Russell Wilson versus earlier in his career when he had Drew Lock. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. But, you know, he still has talent. He does drop the ball, too. That's the other issue. So there are some accurate passes that he has not held on to. He's had some big drops in his career early.
Now, in the backfield, you got Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. I thought that Melvin Gordon was done. Like, but the way that Denver has used him, they use him as compliments, where I think about three carries separate Williams from Gordon, where it's kind of a even split. If you're the Raiders, which one of these two will give you the most headache?
I think it's Javonte Williams. He's younger, has fresher legs, more physical, breaks more tackles, a little bit more speed at this point in his career. I would much rather than play Melvin Gordon more snaps, because he has a fumbling issue and he can put the ball on the ground. So if he's in, the Raiders should attack the football and see if they can get a turnover. But I would much rather face Melvin Gordon than I would Javonte Williams at this point.
Now, one of the things that I look at is how does the offensive line stack up? And as bad as the Raiders pass rush have been, I actually have faith in them this week, because they face Garrett Bowles. And Garrett Bowles is a penalty waiting to happen. They extended his contract. When I look at him, and I look at him in general, just the penalties. Is this the game you see Chandler Jones finally break out?
I don't know. Are the Raiders going to have the lead, and are they going to be able to run the football and get up two scores? I have questions about that against this Denver defense. I don't think this is the week. I think they should start mixing in Malcolm Kuntz a little bit more on obvious pass rushing downs. Garrett Bowles, you know, hopefully we get a couple holding penalties this week. Lan Clark is reffing this game. It's like they called the fourth most penalties last year. They're sixth most this year. They call a lot of offensive holding. So maybe Max Crosby can get some on the other side against Cam Irving. But the Raiders are going to have to get pressure on Russell Wilson. They can't just let him sit back there and dump the ball off. And at some point, if the Raiders want to get to the quarterback and get him on the ground, they have to fix the underneath coverage. They can't allow the short to intermediate area between the hashes to be wide open like they have all year.
Bowles has 44 accepted penalties. He's had 10 holds since 2021. That is startling. Now, if we flip it to the Broncos defense, where going to the days of Von Miller, you have a Randy Gregory and you have Nick Chubb. One brings speed, one brings power. Which one do you think the right side of the Raiders defense offense would line up better against?
Yeah, I would think at this point, I would rather see Chubb lined up over there. I think Mumford, he's got slower feet. He's not a great athlete. So I at this point, I'd rather him play against more of a power player in Chubb than a guy that can get the corner and that's elusive like Gregory. I'd much rather have Gregory rushing against Colton Miller because Miller is the other way. He's okay with speed guys. It's the bull rush, the power guys that can push him back in the pocket. So hopefully that's how they line up. It's probably going to be the other way around. You're probably going to see Chubb over Miller, and you're going to see Gregory working against Mumford.
Now, when I'm looking at Darren Waller with a chance to redeem himself, because you were playing against a guy like a Josie Jewell who, yes, he's a sure tackler, but he should never ever be playing in space. Do you think that Carr will feed Waller more knowing who he's probably going to be covered by?
Yeah, I would think the game plan here is to attack the middle of the field because the Broncos' weakness is the coverage of the linebackers and then the strong safety, whoever that's going to be, because Justin Simmons is out of this game. It's probably Kareem Jackson will probably play free. It's probably going to be Caden Stearns. So they should be attacking those three guys and then occasionally working it outside or in breaking routes. So you should see a lot of stuff over the middle in this game. But, yeah, Darren Waller probably had his worst game as a Raider. He dropped a touchdown. He dropped two, technically. The first one on the first drive, that wasn't even being thrown to him. That was being thrown to Devontae Adams. If you watch the play again, Carr rolls out right. He's got his eyes on Adams the whole time. Adams is running a corner route, basically an out route at the back of the end zone, and Adams stops and turns it into a back shoulder throw. Carr never sees Waller coming across the field. But Waller got both hands on it. He should have caught it. He could have made a much better effort on the ball down the field that ended up being a drop for incompletion on 3rd and 7 and then clearly had the ball go through his hands on the goal line. So he's already losing snaps to Foster Moreau, which is a concern after the contract they gave him because of blocking. And now he has a game where he's not holding onto the ball. So he's not clicking right now, but they need to get him involved because Denver is going to put Sertan wherever Adams goes, I would assume. And they may even double him at times. So Renfro's probably not going to play. He didn't practice yesterday. He's still in concussion protocol. So the Raiders are going to need a big game out of Darren Waller because the Broncos are not going to let Devontae Adams take this game over.
What have you and Dwayne got cooking up?
Just recorded last night the latest put on Raiders podcast, breaking down a couple of plays from the Tennessee game and then looking forward to this game. We got a weekly pick six segments where we try to pick games against the spread. We haven't been very good so far this year. So hopefully this week I can go 3-0 and get back to 500.
How can people interact with you on social media?
They can reach out to me on Twitter. It's at RHOLM22. I'm getting a lot more questions sent DMs. Just people have general questions about the defense, about the offense, about the scheme. And when I have time, I'm more than welcome to interact with the fans on Twitter.
Ryan Hall, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast.